Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you, CJ. Happy Sabbath to everybody. Got a question for you. Do you know the Lord? Have you ever been asked this? Usually if you answer your door and there's two men standing in nice suits at the door, you'll hear this question. How many of you have heard that question? Can I see a raise? All right. So most of you are familiar with this. And I think at first we can take this saying and we can dismiss it a little bit and ignore what it really is asking. But let's not do that today. Let's actually look at it. Let's look at it, and I'm going to ask you again, do you know the Lord? This is an important question to ask. But there's a second half to this question that's also important, and that is, does the Lord know you? It's a two-part question that we should be asking. Now, we understand that God knows every hair on our head, so we're not talking about the logistics of knowing us. We're talking about a relationship here. And a little story here that's interesting to me that Carla shared with me today, or the other day. She was having a lunch date with my daughter Jessica, whose face is now just wide open. She didn't know I was telling this. And they were talking, and they both decided they wanted to get to know each other a little bit better. So they're going to ask each other to describe each other to them. You know, you tell me what you know about me, and then I'll give you feedback and let you know if that's right. And so they went through this process, and at the end of it, my wife said they both looked at each other and said, you know what, you're pretty accurate. You know me. I feel like you know me. And this is what we're talking about here when we talk about, do you know the Lord and does the Lord know you? Do we have that kind of relationship with him? And is it something that we reflect him and he can actually say, I know you? And we can say, we know you. So if we look at this, let's go ahead and turn to Matthew 7, 21, 23, because I want to look at something else on this, because just saying you know the Lord is not everything. So if you'll go ahead and turn to Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23, let's read something here. We see written here, God says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done wonderful works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And in some versions, it's actually iniquity. Well, let's just think about that for a second. Here, there's people out there casting out demons in Christ's name, prophesying, I mean talking about Christ and the Word. And they're doing many wonders. Things that we haven't seen, I haven't seen in my life, is being described here. Yet Christ is going to declare to them, I never knew you. So how can this be? What's missing? You would think, at least I would think, that there would be a relationship there. But it's clear that there's not. So if we look at it, we've got two aspects that I see here that we need to look at. And one aspect is the end of verse 23. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness or iniquity. But there's also another aspect to it. That's not the only aspect. The other aspect's at the end of verse 21. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven, that's who's going to enter the kingdom of God. So we've got two parts here. And they're both important. Because if we just look at one part, say for instance we look at verse 23. And we go, well look, if we just practice the law, then we're going to be there. You know, because obviously these people were lawless. So that's why they're not there. If we go down that path, it may not lead us where we think. So if you look at it, that word lawlessness or iniquity, and I'm going to try to pronounce it in the Greek, is anomia, and its definition is the condition without law because of ignorance of it, because of violating it, contempt or violation of law, iniquity or wickedness. So that's the definition. So just remember that if you would, because we're going to see a different definition of iniquity down the road here. Now in verse 21, he who does the will of the Father is also important. Now if we take both of these together, let's look at the first one. We would think that if we keep the law perfectly, God's going to know us. But let's go ahead and turn to Galatians 2:21. says here, Galatians 2, verse 21, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. So the law doesn't bring about righteousness. You know, we can't get there. It's incomplete. It's half of it. It's important. We do know it's important, but it's only half of it. So that's one issue that we need to look at. What about the other issue of do the will of the Father? What are we talking about there? Let's go ahead and turn back to Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40. Let's see what that says. Matthew 22, 37 through 40. It says, Jesus said to them, You shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. See, the law is directing us towards this. So if we just stop at the law, we're missing it. We're not there. This is the purpose of the law, to direct us to loving God and loving our neighbors. And this rings true with what God said back in Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. And I'll just read that really quickly. It says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and you shall have the Lord thy God. You shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command you this day shall be in thine heart, that you shall take them and teach them diligently unto your children. You shall talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and thou shalt bind them as a sign upon... I'm switching between versions here. Forgive me. I'm going from New King James, and I printed out King James. So, and you shall teach them diligently unto your children, and you shall talk them when you sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by thy way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and when thou shalt bind them as a sign upon thy hand, and that shall be on the frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of the house and on the gates. It's talking about a way of life. You know, this is something that has to be a full commitment from us. You know, we're actually supposed to be living this every day, day in, day out. You know, coming to church and keeping the Sabbath, keeping the holy days, they're important. They're very important. But that's not the end of it. If we stop there and we go out and we're not living it every day in our life, then we're going to fall short and Christ will not know us. If we turn our hearts to God and seek to make His ways our ways, then Christ will know us and we will know Him. If we want to turn to 2 Timothy 2:19, please. Well, actually, let's go to Matthew 25, 35 through 40 first. We're right here in Matthew. Matthew 25, verses 35 through 40. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. For I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry? When did we feed you? Or thirsty, and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger, and take you in, or naked, and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick, or in prison, to come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, Assuredly, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Again, God's talking about a relationship here. You know, we need to be living this daily. We need to becoming like him. So if we'll go to 2 Timothy 2:19, please. Second Timothy 2:19 says, Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now here, if you look at iniquity, the Greek translation is adikia, and one of the definitions is unrighteousness of heart and life. It's going a little bit deeper than just your actions and the law. This is actually unrighteousness of heart and the way we live. That's important. You know, and God says, if he's going to know us right here in this, that we need to depart from this. We need to have it in our heart. So I'll encourage all of us, myself included, let's strive to have a personal relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, especially as the Passover season approaches. Let's really make this a priority in our lives. If we do these things, if we depart from iniquity and seek the will of our Father, then we will know the Lord. And in return, the Lord will declare that he knows us.